Okay, Gudvach, everybody. We're holding here in Parshas Miketz. And obviously, as you would expect, Parshas Miketz deals a lot with dreams. One of the inyanim that sort of lacks some clarity in Chazal are dreams real, nonsense, are they something, not something? And the Rishonim tried to make Seder from all of the different Chazal. Some Chazal say dreams are nothing, some Chazal say dreams are nevuah, and the Rabbeinu Bechai has a short piece here, the Abarbanel is Meirich Alat, there is also an Akedah, not here, but that speaks about it, and we're going to try to learn the two inyanim here. So let's see the first Rabbeinu Bechai, who gives just a short overview of three different types of halomos. The Abarbanel actually goes into the point of different dreams and what does the pisrin accomplish, which is one of the strange aspects of halomos. So let's see the first piece. V'da, ki halomos they gimel sibos, they macholim, machshavos, chizuka nefesh. So it's always helpful if you translate these things into something more contemporary. Macholim means chemical, physical, body functions. And let's see where he says it. Macholim olidim gasos umalin oshan lamoach, v'chalom habo besibas zeh hakol inyani hevel dvar mitaylo. So he says this means when you eat too much, and this is the language that was used by Kadmonim, vapors kind of rise up to the mind. It's not very different than saying the mind is a physical being, the brain, I should say, is a physical entity. It has the way they call it, a static, whatever it is, it's a mumble jumble of just random stuff going on. And that is absolutely meaningless. Two, hachaloyim abo besibis machshavis, uksha odom mechashebem tode, umekoyach tzia machshavos umechashebem beyoim, yoisim belayla. There's a psychological type of function. A person thinks a lot during the day, and is obsessed with something, and he obviously dreams about it. So, and it's one of the places where it'll come out. There was a Rebbe in Yerushalayim many, many years ago who was passed over. His father left his brother-in-law as the Rebbe, and a few years later, he got up one morning and he said he had a dream. His father came to him and said he should take over. So the pundits of Yerushalayim said he's been dreaming this dream a very long time already. And we need not believe him that it was a conscious lie, but we certainly can feel it's something that's been on his mind for a long time. And maybe that's what it was. So that's the Tziyah Machshava, Shemachash Me'yiras Ba'layla. V'chaloyim habom nechizuk ha'nefesh, v'amite roi mikulam shukos ha'nefesh. There is, however, a level of nefesh, of a person's soul, that can sometimes get stronger powers and sense things beyond itself. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar tells us about something that is another function of the mind, not quite a divine message. Let's talk a little bit about this because the terminology we use a lot. The terminology, again, this is Aristotle's terminology, but it's a terminology that was adopted by everybody because it seems to be very reasonable terminology, is a person's mind has it's almost like two programming languages and two systems. There is Koach Hamedame, which is badly translated as imagination or fantasy, but really what it is the following. pieces, bits and pieces of whatever sensory input I have in me stick in the brain. A person remembers a particular scene. A person remembers a smell, a scream, a laughter, many, many items that physical events that the senses registered and stay stored, and just sort of a language of figures, images, etc. And then there is a very calculating part of the mind, which is closer to being a computer. In other words, it makes a cheshbon and says, if this, then this, if that, and so on. Intuitive thinking, critical thinking is that second one, is the mind, is that brain type of operation of that. Intuitive thinking tends to be the first. And that is where I get to the answer without processing it. Let's take a very simple example that today is common. In a business, you'll have a very big business and you'll have one type of businessman will make intuitive decisions and be right a lot of the time. And there will be analysts that will do it their way. And they'll also be right. Now, the intuitive thinker, we don't believe as Ruach HaKodesh. I don't believe Ruach HaKodesh is common amongst business people. Maybe I'm mistaken, but that's not what I have to go with that. Unless the Chassidish Yidden. But they're not Ruach HaKodesh, but it's a type of thinking that uses Koach HaDimyon. I feel I can even tell myself why, but that type of look on this person's face tells me this company's not doing good. That type of look on the workers over there tells me something is really, really revving up. And there's something big going to happen there. Those are things that the Koach HaMadama has. So a lot of times the answer will pop up to me at night because that's a time when Koach HaMadama is strong. So it's not going to be running through a rational process, but through an intuitive process. And this is the Nevuah that he said, Chazal said, were given to Shotim et Tinokos. In other words, they don't make conscious judgments and everything like that. They let things naturally flow through them. So he says, that's why, oddly enough, the people who don't have that input, we don't, for us, it's hard to function to it because our mind sets this can't be, this is impossible, you don't want this to be, and so on. And that's why the Korana works. So the person hasn't done any conscious thinking about this particular Indian, and they come to where the tzaddikim are shoyim. So, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted Paro to have this dream so that this whole thing come about. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is not explaining where a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes into the picture. He's explaining process, like we said, and it could be Rishayim Tzadikim, it could be Shaitim Tanim. He does not talk about a Nevuah in any sense of the word. And he leaves it a bit. He does say over here it's called a Nevuah Katana, but it sounds from the Shigda Lishna of Rebbe Chaya that it's sort of a metaphor. It means Nevuah Katana because it appears to be unbased on anything, on any rational process, which is a very, very this world process. So Rebbe Chaya leaves us a little bit that Abarmanel is more Meirich. And he does put certain points in over here. Basically, everybody's motive, there are halomos that mean absolutely nothing. There are halomos that are a mixture, and the halomos that are pure emes. We have to go and see what they are. So this is a bit of a long piece of it in Abarbanel. Now, I think I mentioned before that Abarbanel has a habit, a positive habit, of bringing down many of the shitas that are there before him. He sort of sums up. He disagrees with them many times, but it's a compendium. It's kind of, a lot of times he'll do that. And even sometimes if he doesn't mention it by name, he will have incorporated different shitas that are before him. He was at the end of the Spanish era, at the end of the 15th century. So basically, he basically includes most of the major ideas of Rishonim.
Hineni mevai in achlomas esron bechlal befrat beYosef kashasam lekim befi.
It's an interesting play on the words. He says, I'm going to describe to you what dreams are about, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put it in my mouth. It's a play on the words of Yosef, you know, Lelekim Pesronos and so on. Kihine, yesh min ha-chalomo shem kulam dimyoinim u'pokach ha-medame, shume atzmo markiv ha-kovas u'medame dimuyim, uke b'min ha-ze ein bo yishev uchot klal. So he's using the word dimyon slightly different. I want to clear up. It's not a real machlokas in this sense. Everybody is moda. You don't have to be moda. The medium of a chalom is dimyon. It's an image that you see. It's a movie that you see at night. That's what a chalom is. So koach ha-dimyon is actually the medium for it. The question is where it comes from. And the first type is, it is just internal noise generated by the koach ha-dimyon. U'me'elam chalom so mezonos v'yenos v'pirk ha-sheno mizgah chalom v'briusim cholyom. Anything caused by physical, physiological, psychological factors. U'mizeh ha-min v'chalom so ma-shlomo kibah chalom b'rov inyan v'kol ksil b'rov dvorim k'rev chalom s'va'volim. Shlomo said, dreams come because of a lot of foolishness and so on and so forth. By the way, just a parenthetic remark. The Chazon Ish used to be extremely annoyed with Darshanim who based a Hashgafa or a Shita on a Maimah Chazal or a Pasik. He would say, you can't choose one. So somebody will come along and says, Chalemus are meaningless. Look at what Shlomo HaMelech said, and he'll dash it. And the problem is, it's not that Shlomo HaMelech didn't say it. It's not the story of the Pasuk, but you're getting only one particular thing of it. And you need to take all the shitas into account. It's like something with Paskin from one sugya. And then there's another sugya that seems to come out with an opposite maskana. That person is wrong. You need to account for both and explain, this is talking about this, this is talking about this, this is talking about this. When you have a stiris in Gemaris and Chazal, or Chazal or Gemaris, whatever, you basically are answering by explaining, qualifying each statement. So he says there are three types of dreams and three types of Chazal that we'll talk about. He doesn't say dreams speak falsely. He's saying the dreams of falsity, not the fall that dreams are false, but there are dreams of a certain subspecies of dreams that are false. They're basically just passing on false dreams. So this is where all the time, anytime Chazal disparage a cholom and they say it's nonsense, that's the type of dream. Two, v'yesh min acha m'shnei chalomos, v'yesh min acha sheni m'chalomos, shem tzodkim, v'apol b'mehem agrom m'shmaimim. Some of the heavenly bodies cause it. Ki b'yoyis ha-nefesh b'sheno, p'nuya, me'asokim ha-chushim, b'stalik men ha-moneya, shu'a machshava b'mashevi ha-chushim elo, huchna lizdabek, b'stalik men ha-moneya, shu'a machshava b'mashevi ha-chushim elo, huchna lizdabek b'atzom el-yoynim, v'yut b'nefesh b'sheno'isim atzom ha-shmaimim, mitzuras ha-dvorim, kolshki ma-shenisyachis li-chukois ha-nevuah v'shaytis ha-machshava. So this is the second type of dream, and this second type of dream has in itself emes. And let's explain, and we'll use the same language. It's different, Tkufis, different languages, but there's the same idea. In the Rambam's world, and many Rishonim, the whatever we'll call, there was an intermediate structure between people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we would call malachim. Just one second, I have to put in a plug to make it. My battery is running low. There's malachim, there are different kochavim mazolos, they don't have any, what we call it, they don't have any independent discretion, but they represent a higher force. They do represent an intermediary stage. It's what Mekubalim would call olamos. In other words, if we focus on them at all, it's avodah zarah. But that they exist, Kabbalah speaks of olamos. The Torah speaks of malachim. This is part of the machinery that goes from Shemayim down. If a person taps into a higher world, then things that will happen later do come to him. It's almost as if a geneticist will look at the genes of a forming fetus and tell you about the newborn. So is he a Navi? No, because it's there already, but no one else knows it because it's not out yet. So any hashpah that comes from that, those worlds, will give you truths, but it's not a message, but it's a truth you can tap into. It's a bit similar to what I said before about intuitive thinking. It's a higher form of recognizing, knowing, understanding, but still not. And those will explain things that are very strange. I had an experience myself, strangest of experiences. My mother, Alei HaShalom, was in an old age home, in a ward, kind of a dementia ward. She wasn't quite, she had limitations at that time. And this was 7 years ago, when my brother was in sleep, passed away. And we found out about it. And we decided, obviously, we're going the next day. But we wanted to visit her so that we could be gone for a week without explanation and that. The home that she was in had no firm residents, no Jewish staff, to the best of my knowledge. My mother was stone deaf at the time, kind of would pretend to understand what we're saying. She really wasn't. And that was it. So the next morning, so we found out about it at our time. It was late at night, 12 o'clock at night. At 6-7 morning, we started making plans. We went to visit her at 9 in the morning. We go into a room, and again, and she says to us, your teacher passed away last night. So I said, really? She said, yeah, the very tall one. And they made a funeral very quickly, and they didn't let anybody speak for more than 10 minutes. I mean, a double take was me and my wife were kind of floored. And then she said, it must have been your math teacher in sixth grade, something like that. So what do I make of it? I don't know. Was it a nevuah sent down by Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the point of it? But it certainly was way too eerie. I had 2-3 times like that. Actually, when she was in the home, that she said these eerie things, and the understanding of any of these type of stories that would be true is not that the person is in communication with Kadosh Baruch Hu, unless you feel the person deserves to be in communication with Kadosh Baruch Hu. It is that co-op to tap into it. Just like different people are gifted in different ways, maybe some people have a gift or something that allows it. But it's coming from that. The reason why it sees things beyond is because it's like somebody saying on top of a high hill, you see things that are further down the road that other people only see later. Merle says that about Nevuah, that it's something that's already in the formation. It's just that he sees it before you see it. It's already a metzias of sorts. And he says, and you find that in turn of him that there is truth to it. And this is the type of chalom that Chazal said, that chalom is ech mishish nevuah, and it's novos and nevuah. Novos and nevuah means like little fallout from nevuah. It has some sort of comparison to nevuah, but almost not a nevuah, as if it's batel b'shishim. It's interesting enough, the Rambam, when he speaks about kochavim azolos, if there's any truth to it, not. Most of the time, he slams down very, very, very hard on it. It's just in my home, Kish, all these things. In one place, for sure, and I think another place, in his Akdamshais, he does mention that at times they're right. But in the big picture, checker. In other words, the fact that somebody may have predicted things in an eerie way does not mean that he's hooked into truth, and therefore whatever he says should not be taken as truth automatically. He's not getting message from Kadosh Baruch Hu. For whatever reason it is, he has a sense about things that will come. So we can buy into that and still say that this, we're a lot of times worse than a person who's clueless is somebody who occasionally gets it right. Those people, if somebody keeps betting on horses and he loses, at some point he stops betting on horses. If he occasionally wins, then he never stops betting on horses. So sometimes it's worse. But Akapanim, the Rabbi explains, there's a second type that has true things come because there's a place these things can come. Finally, the third, Chalemus Emes Vehine. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you a message, we get much more specific dreams about this. So this is a very different type of dream. It's a message, and by definition, has to be true. Things that happen to us seemingly at random are coming from Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hashgacha, and therefore Hashgacha is specific. Okay, so these halomos are Avimelech and Lavan. Hakadosh Baruch Hu had a reason to come to them, and Gidon, he says, was like that. He goes through a shoal that he was expecting Nevua, he expected Chalomos that weren't coming, means that he usually was used to it, and so on. Brings a few of these. Now, the next paragraph on page Reish Mem Zayin, second paragraph. Both of these, even the dreams come from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, are not perfect. So here he says he is sold that if you have a dream, even if it's a message from Hashemayim, will include elements in it that are not true. And let's explain why that's so. And simple. Imagine, I have a scene in front of me, a live scene, and I take a picture of it. No matter how good the picture is, it's always not quite as good as the source. Because whatever medium is taking the picture, if it's pixels on a computer screen, if it's tiny pixels on photographic film, and whatever it is, you're always getting the medium also. Let's take a simpler example. Imagine I translate somebody else. So somebody's speaking one language, I translate to a second language. Sometimes I willfully am trying to distort it. But even if I dutifully and I know both languages perfect, the languages do not contain the exact same terminology. And therefore, it's not imperfect because I'm trying to mislead you or tell you things aren't true. It's imperfect because the medium is not going to be a perfect medium. So there will always be things that are not 100% true. And this is what Chazal said when he said, "Lechalma toiva miskayim kula, lechal bishem miskayim kula." Neither a true chalom nor a false chalom always come true totally. Amr Shem said, "Keshem sheefshel barbalei tevin." Just like there's no grain that does not have a husk around it, hay around it, kachi efshel chalom lidvarm b'teilim. Then I think three dots indicate I skipped. He is very mayak over there. So he said, so what you see from here is there are not one type of dream, but there are many types of dream. And he sums up what he said before. I'm going to skip because I pushed a little bit short on time and I want to get to the end of it. Now, the last paragraph. The reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down and gives us a dream, so that people and will straighten out. They have a purpose. I want to warn a person to do good. I'm going to tell a person what's going to happen now is not a coincidence. It's an einish, or what's going to happen now is a positive reinforcement. It helps a person focused on doing right, because when you give a caption to hashgacha, that's going to be, it's a lot more meaningful to a person. And then he says the next page, he speaks about why Ne'arim and Psoim get more dreams, even true dreams, like the Gemara says, that it wasn't. So he says the same reason, because they don't include their own thoughts into it. So it's much more clear screen and so on. Okay, then he says, he goes about the difference between a true dream and not true dream. The true dream, he says, is the chisom v'avcha b'mei yibod lo achlomus hashav v'shabashim v'achlomus hatzot v'mashparin z'acholom osam. How to distinguish? He speaks about, is it clear, organized, structured, or is it just a mess of different pictures and so on and so forth? Okay, let's skip down to Bisroinim. Basically, that's what he's saying. I'm summing up. It the third paragraph from the bottom. V'omnam ha-pistronim. So what does a piston come in? I mean, a dream is, if it's nonsense, it's nonsense. If it's grom shmaim, it's grom shmaim. If it's a mesekash basekash brahu, where does the piston come in? V'omnam pistronim achshavani, so he gives his own take. She'inyan ha-poyse b'chlal hu ke'inyan ha-rofi mirafa tachluim. He's like a doctor. Just like the doctor, we don't know what's in the body, but the doctor knows how to take the pulse and the urine and other things like that. By the way, there were actually, I don't know how early, but I believe sugar was detected very early. They could tell, but I don't think it's early as this, but whatever they had the things. So basically, you're looking for different clues in different exudes of the person to get a sense of what exactly is inside. He will do the same thing. The dream is going to clue him in as to what the meaning would be. So he says, he speaks about the different requirements. For Ula Atai Sheni is, he needs to understand the person's background, because not every dream means the same by everybody. And he gives an example. He says, if a robber dreamed that he was hung on a tree, it probably will not mean the same as a Talmud Chacham who dreamt like that. So this might mean that he become very chashim. So understanding what the dream means needs to take a context of a person. The Gemara says over there, and then he brings the famous Gemara in Brachas, where he would be poiser ben HaKadosh dreams in a way that were good and so on, because he felt that he was a tzaddik, and all that's meant to come to him is good. So therefore, he told him that mistama, all these things are meant to be interpreted as a metaphor for the good. So what does it mean? He says the next paragraph. But it says kol hachalomus holcha hapeh. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that what he says becomes. So here he says a very interesting pshat. It's his pshat, I don't know anyone else says it. He says the following. Let's give a mashal. Imagine I give you a bag of stones, and I tell you, this is a present. These are very nice marbles. Tell the kids to play with them. They're nice little marbles. Or these are cheap paperweights that I picked off the beach in somewhere. So you'll take it and you'll give it to your kids to play with it. You'll use it as paperweights and fine. Imagine these are gems worth millions and millions of dollars. Are you a wealthy man or not? Well, it depends. In maybe in some abstract way, maybe the IRS will think that you're wealthy. But you're not wealthy. You don't have millions of dollars. You don't have it because you don't know about it. Let's take another example. Imagine a person has an ailment that Rahman Islam will kill him after 5 years, but for 4.5 years, it has no symptoms. So for 4.5 years, this person has this ailment, but is he a sick man or not? If he knows about it, he's a patient from the first day. It affects him in every way possible. If he doesn't know about it, he's not a sick man those years. Yes, in a technical way it is. If you have a dream and you don't understand this meaning, you don't know, then basically it doesn't affect you in any real way. The dream is not affecting you. So the significance of a dream lies in understanding what the dream is about. That's what how he understands that Hakol Holach HaChapeh. If you understand the Pisrin, then the dream is meaningful. And if not, whatever happens, happens. It's the dream as such is not of any relevance to you. And then he says that Barhedya, so what is the Gemara that says Barhedya, if he got paid, he would be a good Pesach Omer. If he didn't, he would say a bad one. So he says he didn't change the dream, but every dream has good parts and bad parts to it. So Lamash, let's take the example of somebody has a dream that, you know, he found a lot of diamonds. And one person will say you're going to become very wealthy. The other person will say the IRS is going to be after you for a lot of tax. This poor person doesn't know the reason why asking after a lot of tax is have a lot of money. You know, something along those lines. Finally, ha'amnam ruya shenada, two or three paragraphs for the end. Shen chachmas ha'pisak ha'achshabo le'yisafku le'pisak cholam kol ha'pisak. At the end of the day, it's an inexact science. V'zem miponim arba, there are four reasons. First of all, because in the dream itself, he says, eini molim shabo cholam ha'tzayit v'om rabim mo'yisak v'acham dam shmushim. It's an imperfect medium, a dream, and therefore you're going to get chachmadika things, not chachmadika things. It's going to be a grab bag. Two, vasheni gambadir v'acholim shem kifia emes misholim moral yon mishpon, yikshim ayra al-paisi sigosam. They're all metaphors, they're misholim, so to know the exact thing that it is, you need to be very smart. Hashlishi, he says, it's very hard to separate the mashal from the nimshal. What is actual and what's a nimshal? And Revius, the fourth one, he says that what the poisa imagines, the most he can do is, like we said before, you need to have the context. The context most people know is just an immediate context. So I know limited amount about the person, but I need to know many other things about the person. So I'm limited in my ability. And that's why he says on page Reish Nun, Hine in came pisuna chalons ha minigativi, using natural kohos, ima yose she yishalim bidiyas fachos ha pisroinim, rakovas demyonis, akar shasha pose, even though he can do somewhat of a good job, but it's not a perfect job. And finally, in the last paragraph, he says, the people that really, l'cheng shematzonu beidis Hashem nemona, people who give out the real pisronos that come true 100%, it's only with Ruach HaKodesh. Yosef HaTzadik, Daniel, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi HaKodesh, and all those, they are the ones who, the only way you can hit it, a bullseye, exactly what it means, is only Ruach HaKodesh. The best a person can do, a post-cholim that doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, is an approximation, a little better, a little weaker, but he has the four things that he listed that are sort of really, really, you know, cutting down on the chances that he gets it fully right. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any points, any questions?
Rabbi Lavansky, how is the cholem or the poser supposed to be able to differentiate and know that this is not mecholom hashav, that it's one of the, that it's the third type of cholom, and cholopach is the second kind of cholom in the Abravanel's classification?
So he says it depends how strongly, basically, in a lot of these inyanim, in the inyanim that are sort of not tivi, there's always a nusach of gavir kapit or libo nokfo. If a person feels that his, bad, it bothers him, there's a chiyuv posa cholom. There are two people, two big people I know that were posa cholomos. One was my father, Zvayn Vracha, and the reason he did it was because the Chazanish told him that your chalomos are true and you need to be posa cholom. He was very uncomfortable doing it. He didn't like being public, but he had no choice, so he'd do that. And the second person was Abzelig Epstein, who did it because of halacha. He said it's a din. And, you know, the din is, Morris says, if a person dreams a dream and he doesn't feel, you know, right, he should be paisa. So it's a halacha, it's a Morris, it's a shahar. So we do it for that reason. I think, so usually in a lot of these things, if a person feels libo nokfo, then being posa cholam is appropriate. It's a gemara. It's not a would you think it's a gemara. It's a halacha, and you know, person should do it. Okay. Next week, whatever the Olam wants, it's going to be Hanukkah. I'm open. I'll probably be in New York, but I'm open to the idea of learning. But I guess you can tell Yaakov if a few people want to learn, I'd be more than happy to learn. Okay. Afreel van Chanukah, Rosh Hashem.
Afreel van Chanukah, good luck. Thank you.